That means I just hope it means I don't have to stand here again. I think it means we go around, but I have one. I probably have more than one, but one geschmackabart that I thought of sharing with the oilam over here. The truth is that. It's on a keta in the Haggadah, which the source of this little paragraph is, I think, Tosefta. There's a similar nusach in the Tosefta. So in the beginning of the Maggid, a very famous little paragraph says, Maisub, Reb Lezer, Reb Yeshua, Reb Lezer ben Azariah, Reb Akiva, Reb Tarfin, Shoyim, Yisubim, Reb Bnei Brak. Right? There was this story that Reb Lezer, Reb Yeshua, and Reb Lezer ben Azariah, Reb Akiva, and Reb Tarfon, they were all gathered in Bnei Brak, and they were discussing the mitzvah of. They were discussing Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. They're discussing how Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, Kol Ois HaLayla, the whole night. Ad shebo talmideim ba'omuloyim, until the students came and said to them the following morning, Rabbi Seinu, Higias man kriyish masha shachris. They said, Rabbi Sei, time to daven shachris, it's time to say kriyish ma. It's time to say shema in the morning. So, famous question that's asked on this, which I did mention in shir, in my pre-shir, but not everyone here is here from the pre-shir. And we're going to say another teretz, a geshmaka teretz, a meiridik chiddush, which Baruch Hashem, Rabbi David is not here in the room, because if he was here in the room, he would bounce me out. He wouldn't, I don't think he'd go for it. But since he's not here, we have the liberty to say it. It's a very nice lumdus. This is a lumdus of art, okay? The different kinds of divrei Torah in the Haggadah. Maybe Rabbi Willie will share some Kabbalistic insights. You know, you have some Gematrius, Chassidus Shatiris, Musser, we'll leave that for Rabbi Schneider, not here. But I'll share with you a little of this. Okay, so the question that's asked on this story is two questions, first of all. It says that they were discussing Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim the entire night until the students came the following morning and said, it's time to daven Shema. It's time to say Krishna. So, we know the Haggadah brings down the drasha from the Mechilta. Mechilta has a drasha. It says in the Pasuk, Bavur Zeh Lo Yomarti Ela B'Shoah Shematzah Umar Arunach L'Fanecha. Mechilta raises the question, I might think that you should have a mitzvah of Sipritzias Mitzrayim starting already from Rosh Chodesh. We should tell the story of Sipritzias Mitzrayim. The pasuk says no on that day. If it says that day, so Yochel Miboyd Yoim, you might think you should start already earlier in the day. You should start on Erev Pesach while it's still day. Talmud Leimah Bavur Zeh. The mitzvah, the Mechilta interprets, based on the drasha, Bavur Zeh, applies, when is there an obligation, when is there a mitzvah to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim, when the matzah and maror is placed in front of you. There's a question, a famous brisker chakira, what's pshat in that drasha of the Mechilta? Is the Mechilta just saying that that's the time period that you're chayiv, at the same time that you're chayiv to eat matzah and maror? That's the time period that you're chayiv also in the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. Or does the Mechilta actually mean that the Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim has to be recited when the matzah and maror is physically in front of you on the table? And therefore, the briskerov, Salvechik, they were makbid that you should only eat matzah that was actually there on the table during the Haggadah, that the Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim relates to the matzah. It related to the matzah. So, but we know there's a drash in the Mechilta of that the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim applies when? when there's a mitzvah to eat matzah and marah. You can't perform the mitzvah earlier. So, l'chora, there's two questions here on this paragraph, which is based on the Tosefta. The Tosefta is a slightly different gersa. The first question is, it says that, who are these great Tanoim that were gathered in Bnei Brak, talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim the entire night? So we have Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Tarfon. So the question is, that there's a machlokes in the Gemara, Pesachim, the end of the parak, the end of Arvei Pesachim, and it's also earlier, Daf Nun Vav, it's also in Tvachim, between Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva, till what time do you have to eat Karban Pesach? How much time do you have to eat Karban Pesach? According to Rabbi Akiva, Karban Pesach is eaten the entire night. Karban Pesach is eaten the entire night. It's not become puzzle that you're not allowed to eat it and it's no sir, it's leftovers until the following morning. That's according to Rabbi Akiva. But according to Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah, the Gemara says, in a few places in Shas, in Brachas, in Zvachim, by us in Pesachim, the Gemara says, Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah, based on Xer Shava, Balayla Hazeh, he learns out that you can only eat Karban Pesach until Chatzos, till midnight. That's the time period to eat Karban Pesach. So the question that's asked is, we know the Drasha and the Mechilta, Bavur Zeh Lo Yamarti El B'Shoah Shematzah U'Mara Munach L'Fanecha, the mitzvah of Sipritzias Mitzrayim applies when? Only when there's a mitzvah to eat matzah and maror. And since Karban Pesach, according to Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah, has to be eaten by Chatzos, it has to be eaten by midnight, so also matzah and maror have to be eaten by midnight. Because al matzah yisum roirim yoichlu, and there's a hekesh between matzah and Karban Pesach, so the mitzvah of eating matzah is only till Chatzos, according to Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah. And if so, then the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim is also, according to Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah, only till Chatzos. So why in the world was Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah participating over here in this Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim the whole night? It's against his opinion. According to his opinion, halachically, he wasn't doing anything. So why was he up all night being Mesaper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim? Maybe Rabbi Akiva and the other Tanoim, maybe they pass like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, you have a mitzvah to eat Karban Pesach the whole night. So if you have a mitzvah to eat Karban Pesach the whole night, then you also have mitzvah to eat matzah and bar all night, and the mitzvah of Sipritzias Mitzrayim is also all night. But according to Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah, that the mitzvah of eating Karban Pesach is only till Chatzos, so the mitzvah of Sipur is also only till Chatzos. So why was Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah talking all night? That's question number one. Question number two is, even on the other Tanoim, even on the other opinion, let's say you hold it Rabbi Akiva, so the mitzvah to eat Karban Pesach is only till when? It's all night long. That means it ends when? When does the night end? Alois HaShachar. By Alois HaShachar, it's already day. Can you recite Kriya Shema at Alois HaShachar? No! When do you recite Kriya Shema? What does the Mishnah say? Mishayakir. When you're able to distinguish, there's enough light that you can distinguish between green and white. That's Mishayakir. It's a later time period than the time of Alois HaShachar. So even according to Rabbi Akiva, it doesn't make any sense. Why were they being Mesaper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim all night long past Alois HaShachar till Zman Kriya Shema? Okay, these are two famous questions on this particular night. There are many, many answers given to answer this question. There's an answer that I saw quoted this morning from the Abar Benel. Meir the Kechidish from the Abar Benel. The Abar Benel says, Mamish Meir the Kechidish. The Abar Benel says that true, the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, according to Blessed Ben Azariah, ends at midnight. And according to Rabbi Akiva, it ends at Alois HaShachar. But says the Abar Benel, we know, like the Rambam says, it's a Mishnah. Bechol dor v'dor, chayiv adam lirois v'satzmo, ki'ilu yotzma Mitzrayim. You have to view yourself as though you yourself left Egypt. And the Rambam has a nusach You have to act out, you have to demonstrate as though you left Mitzrayim. So says the Barnel, since the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Jews were up all night. They're up all night. They were leaving. They had to pack their stuff quickly, run. They were up the whole night. So since they were up all night, so there's an Indian, says the Barnel, based on this din of Bechol Dor Vador, Chayiv Adam, Lirois, Laharois, Esatzmoy, Ki'ilu, Yotzim, Mitzrayim, that you should stay up all night long. So once you have to stay up all night long and you're involved, you see Mitzrayim. So they were talking about seeing Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what the Barbanel says. What? Zman Shechiva.
That's going to Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva.
According to Rabbi Akiva, it was all night long. According to Rabbi Akiva, till the following morning. Because there's a dinner. But of Lahari Sisatzmoy. To re-experience Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what the Barbanel says. In the Siach Hagrid Agoda, so Rav Salavitchik there gives an answer that there's two dinim in the midst of CPT Tzayim. There's a midst of CPT Tzayim of telling the story, and there's a midst of CPT Tzayim that's fulfilled through learning the halachas. Okay? The proof to that is the Tesefta, that the Tesefta says a person should be osek in the halachas of Zilchus Pesach all night long. So the question is, who cares? There's a mitzvah of Sipur, but what does that have to do with Hilchos Pesach? Apparently, you see from the Tosefta that you can fill the mitzvah of Sipur Tzayim through learning the halachas of Pesach. So, if Salavitchik says in his Haggadah, in the Siach Hagrid, yes, you'll check it out if I'm quoting it right. He says that according that the mitzvah of telling the story, that's all night, but the mitzvah of learning the halachas, that's only till midnight. I think that's how he says it. Others say it the opposite. The mitzvah of learning halachas is all night, and the mitzvah of telling the story is only till midnight. But that would be maybe one way how you could answer this pshat and why they did it all night. It still doesn't answer the question of why, even according to Rabbi Akiva, they were saying Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim past Alos HaShachar. Even if we say this pshat of Rav Salavitchik in the Siach Hagrid, there's two dinim. There's a halach of telling the story, which is all night long, and there's a din of learning the halachas, and let's say that that's only till midnight. Maha Eidus Vachukim is a separate rush from Mechilta, or whatever, you're going to say the opposite. The halachas is all night long, and the story is till midnight, whichever way you want to, you know, answer, but that doesn't explain why they were saying the story past Alois HaShachar, till the time of Zman Kriyashma. So Rebera Pavarsky, Shlita, in the Panovich Haggadah says a geschmack of art. Geschmack of art. Whether this is, you know, MS, La Mita Shel Taira, you know, I think it's MS, but, you know, it's a chavish. It's a shtickle chavish. He says like this. Zarkabel Kravarsky. We had a Gemara in Pesachim that has a drasha that says, Lechem Oini. Lechem sha'oinim olav dvarim harbe. What does that mean? Lechem sha'oinim olav dvarim harbe. So that was Gemara where Kuf Tesvav Mveis. Shmuel says lechem oini, lechem sha'oinim olav dvarim harbe. That there's a din in the matzah that you have to talk about the matzah. Sha'oinim olav, says Rashi on Daf Lamed Vav, shegoyim all of us are halal, the oimrim all of our God. There's a din of lechem oini, that there's a din in terms of the matzah itself, that the mitzvah of matzah is not just to eat matzah, but it's to eat a matzah that the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim was recited on. In other words, it's an added dimension, an added kiyur to the mitzvah of eating matzah. There's two dinim in the mitzvah of Sipur. There's a din of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim as a separate mitzvah. Tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then there's a halacha of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is an aspect within the mitzvah of eating matzah. That's the drasha of Lechem Oini, Lechem Sha'oinim Olav Dvarim Harbe. And with this Yisrael, the Stipler says, that's why women are chayiv in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Chinuch says, women are chayiv in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Constantly Chas Chinuch, and the Chas Chinuch asks, Why are they chayiv the mitzvah sibutzis mitzrayim? It's a mitzvah seish hazman grama. So the stipler answers, hey, chanami, the general independent mitzvah of sibutzis mitzrayim, women will be putter from, because that's a mitzvah seish hazman grama. But since there's a din of telling the sibutzis mitzrayim as a kiyum within the mitzvah of eating matzah, it's an aspect of the mitzvah of eating matzah, and women are chayiv to eat matzah because they're not allowed to eat chametz. So the Gemara has a drasha: whoever's not allowed to eat chametz is chayiv in the mitzvah of eating matzah. So therefore, says the stipler, women are chayiv in the mitzvah of sipur yitzis mitzrayim based on the din of matzah. Comes out of nafkamina. Let's say a woman is not eating matzah; she's not chayiv in sipur yitzis mitzrayim according to the shtickel Torah from the stipler. Says Rebbeinu Pavarsky, we can now take this yisoid one step further. Now that we established, and this is the yisoid that the Achronim established, the Shtel Davek, that there's a din of Sipri Yitzias Mitzrayim as a chelik of the mitzvah of eating matzah. So an added dimension to the mitzvah of eating matzah is to tell the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim in connection with the matzah, and then you eat that matzah. And as I mentioned before, Rav Soloveitchik was makbid. Apparently that's what my father thinks. That's what my father holds. I mean, I didn't hear from him, but my father says Rav Soloveitchik was makbid. You should eat matzos that were on the table during the Haggadah. You should eat matzah that mamish the sipur was chal on that matzah. So dinu lechem oni. So says Rebbeinu Pavarsky the following chiddush. Says we are all aware of the famous Chiddush of the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, that the Gra says that even though there's only a chiyuv to eat the first kezayis of matzah on the first night, you only have a chiyuv to eat one kezayis of matzah. The rest of Pesach, you don't have to eat any matzah. Let's say you know you don't have to eat any matzah. One kezayis, that's it. You don't have to eat matzah. But says the Gra, that every additional kezayis of matzah that you eat past the first night is a mitzvah kiyumis. You fulfill a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah that you're chayiv in, but it's a mitzvah kiyumis. There's a kiyum matzah. And he learns it from the pasuk, shivas yomim matzah is teo toichelu. Matzah should be eaten for 7 days. So says the Gra, it's a mitzvah, what? You eat it. I thought it should be eaten. So that's the way
that's
you should eat it? Okay, I understood different, but that's inside. Anyway, the thought, the insight is that according to the Gra, there's a mitzvah kiyumis in every additional kezayis of matzah you eat. Says Rebbeinu Pavarsky, now we can put the two things together. According to the Gra, every kezayis of matzah is a mitzvah kiyumis of eating matzah. And we know there's a din of lechem oini, that is a kiyum of sipri yitzias mitzrayim built into the matzah. So he says an unbelievable chiddush, that there's a mitzvah of sipri yitzias mitzrayim that's connected to every kezayis of matzah that you eat the entire Pesach, according to the Gra. According to the Gra, every kezayis is a mitzvah kiyumis of achilas matzah, and in the mitzvah of eating matzah is a din of lechem oini. So memela says Rebbeinu Pavarsky, that's the pshat of the maisa. The maisa was they were gathered all night. We had a kasha. Why they gathered all night? Why they gathered all night telling the story even till Zman Kriya Shema? There's no mitzvah. Even according to Rav Akiva, there's no mitzvah. The mitzvah ends at Alois HaShachar. The Teretz is, there's still a mitzvah. Because there's a mitzvah kiyumis in every kezayis of matzah that you eat. Still Pesach. The next morning was still Pesach. But now there's a separate din. Zman Kriya Shema. Zman Kriya Shema is not a pointer. Zman Kriya Shema is not a ptur. So they had to stop because of the mitzvah. Zman Kriya Shema. Zman Kriya Shema is not a ptur. There's no tour of it's a mitzvah iveres. Zman Kriya Shema is a mitzvah iveres. So they had to stop. But in Echanami, says Rebbeinu Pavarsky, if they would continue afterwards, they would fulfill a mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim because it's a din in the eating of matzah, which is a mitzvah kiyumis of achilas matzah. Yashikoya.
Rabbi didn't want to go crazy. Rabbi didn't want to go crazy.
Okay, yeah.
Well, good question. Does this mean if you have matzah but you don't tell over party Yitzhak Mitzrayim over the rest of Pesach, you don't get that extra kiyumis?
Right, correct. According to this, it's a Pesach.
It's afterwards, though. Maybe it means that the whole Matzah, the whole Pesach has to be in the same table that night.
No, it's a din. He's saying, still is that point. It's a din in the midst of the night.
It's not. What were you worried about? That means Matzah anyway.
What do you mean? No, but in other words, as long as you're putting that the next one that has to be chal in the matzah. He's saying no. The man a mitzvah is
it's
a bagur din.
Also hidden in all 7 days.
Right, exactly. Since according to the Grof, it's a din of a mitzvah kiyumis of eating matzah for all 7 days. So the melo is a din of sipri yitzias mitzrayim. For all 7 days.
Only if you eat matzah. Only if you eat matzah.
Yeah. No, not if you eat matzah. That's only if you say that lechem ayni has to be chal mamish in the matzah. Rabbi Willer just asked.
No,
I said, we had it for this famous chakira.
How is your achieve of sipu without the matzah?
Because it's a din of the zman achila.
Then you have to have matzah with
the
sipur.
Again, they have a chakira. Yeah. What's pshat in the din of Bavur Zeh? Okay. Is the din of Bavur Zeh just teaching me when am I chayiv? And then it's saying that I'm chayiv to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim when I have an obligation of eating matzah. That's the simple pshat. That's the pshat we're working with. But Bel Brasky is just saying that since according to the Grah, there is a key of my mitzvah to eat matzah all 7 days. So therefore, based on the din of Lechem Ayni, there's a key of Sipritzias Mitzrayim for all 7 days. And that's why they continue to say the story all night long until Zman Kriyishma came. Zman Kriyishma came. So now there's another mitzvah in their way. Mitzvah Iveris. It's a mitzvah that's going to pass by. So you have to stop what you're doing. That's a Bel Pravatsky's shtickle Torah. There's another answer that they say that this is a simple shot. What's the reason they were talking? But it won't answer the question of Kriya Shema, of Zman Kriya Shema. The answer that they say is that since the Bnei Brak, Bnei Brak is the town of Rabbi Akiva, so they followed the Minhag HaMakom, like Rabbi Akiva, that the din is to say the story all night long.
Still doesn't answer.
It wasn't answer the question of Kriya Shema.
I mean, why
they were talking after? The Pashup Shad is. Is that
they just didn't stop? Why would they stop?
Since they were involved, and it's a din of learning Torah, so they lost track of time. They were preoccupied. That's why I did this much for chat. Okay. Sorry. It means as long as it's been in the mass, you don't need to actually vote.
Because Mara also only works with the carbon anyway.
Okay.
Before we go next to the girl in the lodge, there's a little refreshment in the back.
Make sure that's
So we have a thing in our comments to say. By the way, just in case you're wondering, so what she was going to say, she was 11:45. I got 11:45. What? You know? Same way it started at 9:15?
There it is. Download button.
So this sick of Nazi here to say that forever the whole Pesach thing is he's taking it off the Skarav. It's really the back and forth of Deshel. There's two things. First of all, should the matzah be Megillah during the Sibur, and should you eat the matzah that we did? And there's two, they did in matzah and also they did in the Sibur. I'm saying that the back says
I think also the 20th. So, the best learning all Mishnah. Anyway, it could be that it's only in Russian, not some Western.
So that was the following fascinating part, which I actually had a little bit of a smack for it, a little bit of a support for it. Shlomo Zalman mentions the fact that we know that the Din brought down that the Bukhara is fast on Erev Pesach. Why did the Bukhara is fast on Erev Pesach? So the Torah says because to commemorate the fact that they were spared, it's almost like, you know, they're fasting as some kind of atonement, like Hashem really, it could have been sad that the Bukharis would have been killed on Pesach night like the Mitzrim, but they squeezed out of there by the skin of their teeth, and there's certain kapara maybe in terms of the Dam Pesach, so now there's a kapara, the fasting to commemorate the fact that they were just spared from being killed. The Pasha's idea is that the same way a person views himself on Pesach night, as if he just got out, so too he views himself on Erev Pesach, as if he's up, he's, you know, he's up there on the gallows about to be terminated because he's a Bukhar, so he fasts because of this. Shlomo Zalman is bothered by a few things. First of all, he says, if that's the case, so you, instead of having a fast, you should have a party. If you were spared, the same way we got him in Mitzrayim, we don't fast. So the Bukharis were spared from being killed, so they should have a party. Second of all, when should the party be? It should be Pesach night. That's when they were spared, not the Erev Pesach. Third of all, the meaning in most places is that women don't fast, even if they're the firstborn. If it's really that the Bukhar is commemorating the fact that he was spared, so the women should also participate in Tanis Bukhar. Fourth, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, who was actually spared in Max Bukharis? The Bukhar, right? Now, what happened as a result? They had children, and the children had children, So instead of making it that the Bukhar was born in 1993, fast, it should be that the descendants of the Bukhar, who were the Bukhar in times of the same time, they should fast. So because of all this, Shlomo Zalman says, a tremendous Kiddush suggests, and again, we mentioned the Torah says not like this, he suggests that the whole idea of the fast and the Pesach is completely not connected with the Makas Tacharis at all. So what's it connected with? He says that we know the following thing. We know that the Beis HaMikdash had 24 Mishmaras of Kahuna, 24 families that would split through the year. Each one would have 2 weeks that they were on duty. And on Yom Tovim, all the Mishmaras would be there because of Lila Regal anyway. And every day there were many Karbanis, and some days there were more. The day where you see in the Mishnayos and Sofim was the craziest day ever in the Beis HaMikdash was Erev Pesach. Hundreds of thousands of Karbanis were brought on the same day. Karbanis Pesach, Karbanis Chagiga, the Azorah was a wash and a huge river of blood. The Chazal tell us how they used to get all washed out, and then it was just an insane day in the Beis HaMikdash. There was the rivers of Dan Kachem flowing there, millions of people, tremendous amount of Karbanis, and the Kehanim couldn't get enough done in order to satisfy the command that were going down to try to do. Says of Shlomo Zalman, we know that before the Chayda Egel, the Bukharis were supposed to be the ones who served in the Beis HaMikdash. They were supposed to have the Madrega, the Bukharis weighs more Kaddish, we'll talk about that soon. So if that's the case, so the Bukharim, the day they should have had the most prominence in their Avodah was Erev Pesach. So he says that since the Chereiga was done and the Bukharim lost their ability to serve the Beis HaMikdash and they gave it over to the Kehanim, so what is the day in which the Bukharim suffered the most, which it's most glaring that the Bukharim don't do the Avodah? So the day it's most glaring is Erev Pesach. That's why the Bukharim fast as like almost like a mourning and an atonement for the fact that through the Chayda Egel they lost their status as Kehanim, because now Erev Pesach is the day where they feel the most bereft of the Zechus of the Beis Hamikdash, because that's the day where it's the most, it's the biggest Zechus to serve because of the, all the mitzvahs we have to do. And the Maaseh, the Gemara says in Perek Chelek, a fascinating thing. The Gemara says in Perek Chelek, we all know that at the end of the Seder and Nirtza, there are two piyutim we say, by Martin is Pesach and Balaila, the kids are Azra Nisan in place of Balaila, etc. And many of these things discuss what happens at the Seder night, what happened and the beginning of Pesach, what's special about the Seder night. And if you look at those piyutim and you read them in Farshim, it's unbelievable. It gives a lot of appreciation for what Pesach, the significance of Pesach is throughout the generation. So one thing it says there is that in the times of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, Sancheirov came with a huge horde of soldiers. The Gemara in Perek Chelek says that there were 2 billion plus soldiers that were coming to attack Yerushalayim. And the Gemara says that the fortune tellers were telling Sancheirov that if he wants to conquer Yerushalayim, he's got to do it. His day to do it is Erev Pesach. That's his day. And he told Yerushalayim's dad, this little place, he said, if all my soldiers lined up and each one would make a scratch in the wall with a signet ring, by the time my soldiers were finished, they would penetrate the wall. Ah, little city. So he decided he was going to go until tomorrow. Sure enough, that night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wiped out the entire Machanos of Sancheirov and they all died. The Gemara says, so the fortune tellers told Sancheirov that he should attack Yerushalayim and Erev Pesach. So they were right. Why were they right? So the Gemara says because there was a Gzar Din against Klal Yisrael because of the fact that Shaul had killed out Noiv Gira Kehanim, none of the city of Kehanim, he had wiped them out because he suspected them of being alone with David HaMelech and rebelling against him. So because of that, there was a Rishus to the enemies of Klal Yisrael to attack Yerushalayim. And the day that Gzar Din expired, that's no longer Rishus, that last day was Erev Pesach. Explain to Aruch HaNer why was the last day Erev Pesach. This is beautifully. So Aruch HaNer really says in Rosh Hashanah's Chiddush, he says that Noivir Kehanim was the bastion of Kehanim. And afterwards, there was even a bit of Bittul Mizbeach. There were not enough Kehanim to serve in the Beis HaMikdash because Noivir Kehanim were right there. So because of that, the last day of the Charoim Af, the anger that Hashem had against Klal Yisrael, was Erev Pesach because of the fact that was the day where the Kehanim were most necessary in the Azara. There weren't enough Kehanim to go around. But as soon as Erev Pesach was over, so then Hashem's anger, as it were, died down, and that's why Sancheirov was no longer allowed to attack in the Beis HaMikdash. So this part of Rav Shlomo is based on this Aruch HaNer in the end of Sanhedrin. Maybe next year you'll learn. Okay, it says, fascinating question. It says over here, Vayhi mikei tshloshim shana v'arba mea shana vayhi be'etzem hayom hazeh yotzu kol tibas Hashem me'eretz Mitzrayim. Leo shimur hu la'Hashem lo yitzil me'eretz Mitzrayim. By after 430 years, it's a night that Hashem is watching for, is waiting for. Hu ha'layla hazeh la'Hashem shimur hu l'chol b'nei yitzil me'eretz Mitzrayim. They'll be watch for all Bnei Israel for the Duras. If you look at the Midrashim, unbelievable. The Midrash talks about how this is the night that Hashem has always been waiting for. He's been watching on this night, waiting on this night. And so too, the Rishon after Pesach is also the night that Hashem watches over the Bnei Israel. The word Shmira has many meanings. It means Hashem is watching over us. Hashem is waiting for something. Hashem is saving the night, preserving the night. Lel Shimur. And then, it has again a few seconds later, Pasuk Nun Aleph, this is the end of Perek Yud Beis. Vayhi ba'etzem hayom hazeh, hoyitzi Hashem es b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim al tzivoisam. So the question is, what exactly is the time where you see that Hashem is reserving this night, waiting for this night? Lev shimurim Hashem is waiting for this night. Where do you see anything happening that Hashem is waiting on this night? Additionally, it says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, Vahi be'etzem hayom hazeh, magid shekivan shehigia haketz, once the end of the servitude of Mitzrayim arrived, la'ikvan hamokim keheref ayin. Hashem didn't hold him up even like the blink of an eye. Why? What was special about this day? Says Rashi. This is in Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Mem Aleph. V'tes vav b'nisan ba'u malachei Asharas etzel Avraham v'vatzrei. 401 years earlier, the malachei Asharas had come to Avraham Avinu and told him he's going to have a child. B'chamisha Asar B'nisan. By the way, this is the only place Rashi says in Chumash that the day that they came was the first day of Pesach. And Vayera just says it was on Pesach. Which day was it? So here Rashi says it was the first day of Pesach. B'chamisha Asar B'nisan Nerlad Yitzchak. The next year he was born on that same first day of Pesach. With Hesvav B'nisan Nigzera Gzeras Bein Abisari. And that was exactly 30 years after Hashem appeared to Avraham Avinu also on Pesach, the Bris Bein Abisarim, and had told him that he's going to have this child. So now let's try to answer the first question. Where do you see that there's a Leil Shimurim? Where do you see that Hashem is guarding this night? This is the night for Klal Yisrael. So you see that Hashem appeared to Avraham Avinu, the Bris Bein Abisarim. When do you see it was? It was the night. Which night was it? It was Leil Pesach. And that's what Hashem told Avraham Avinu, your children are going to be Shloshim Arba Mei Hashana. They're going to be serving the Mitzvah for 400 years, meant from the latest Yitzhak 30 years later. So Hashem is already reserving this night, right, as the exact time. Why? Because if Hashem is saying they're going to serve the Mitzvah for 400 years, when's the 400 years up? The same night. So Hashem was already waiting from the Bris Bein Abisarim, was waiting to take Klal Yisrael out. But not only that, Rashi, the fascinating comment that it seems to be in the middle of nowhere, when Avraham Avinu is in the Melchama of the four kings against the five kings, so Avraham Avinu joins the chase, and it says, Vayecholek aleihem laila hu va'avada vayakin. It says that Avraham Avinu was chasing the enemies of the Melch Sadoim, right? The four kings, right? Him and his servants, and they smote them. What's Vayecholek aleihem laila? Pashas means that Avraham Avinu split his camp into two parts to chase after the enemy. That's what happened when they run away, when they retreat. So you have to like go all over the place to catch them. Rashi says, "Umeder shagada shenechlak halayla ubachatzoy sarishoy nasiloy neis." This is a very special night. The first half of the night, Avraham Avinu had his neis. V'chetzoy hasheni, and the second half of the night, Nishmar Ugaloi is being preserved lechatzois laila shel Mitzrayim, for the midnight of Mitzrayim. So you see that Rashi says this lashon. Rashi says that Hashem said this is a special night, the night of Tesfav Nisan, and Hashem was shomer exactly this lashon. The little shimurim, Hashem was shomer this night for hundreds of years from the time when Avraham was joining this war, where he had Nisan, the second half of the night started the Nisan for Klal Yisrael, and that's how you see that it's a little shiurim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was preserving this night the entire time to do the Nisan for Klal Yisrael, and that's why Hashem chose to strike the Egyptians, the Mitzvah, exactly at Chatzos. But the question is, so very nice, right, wonderful. Rashi explains in the beginning of Achayesh Hazel Lachem, why did Hashem have to give us so many mitzvahs? Why did Hashem have to start giving us mitzvahs? Because Hashem was getting nervous. He already made a shavuot with Avraham Avinu, was going to take us out of Mitzrayim, but we need some schos. Where's that schos? We need no schos. So Hashem gave us Dan Pesach and Dan Milah, so that by the time we get around to the time of the Geula, we're going to have enough schosim to get out. The question is, very nice, you know, that Tesvav Nisan is the time when Yitzhak Avinu was born. And that's the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu counted the 400 years from, and therefore this exact same day is when Hashem has to take us out. But the funny lashon, Rashi says, it seems to be exaggerating. It says, that Rashi says, that Kibun Sheikiyah HaKetz Lo'ikvan HaMokam Keheref Ayin. Hashem didn't hold him up like the blink of an eye. How long did it take? Let's say Yitzhak was born on the day of Tesfav Nisan. 12 hours. What's like the blink of an eye? Tommy, you had to come, boom. You had to think about that second. The gentleman, the answer is yes. How do we know this? So if you look in Parshas Vayera, it says, "Vashem poked asara kasher amar, vayas Hashem l'sara kasher diber." Rashi says, "Lamoyer asher diber Hashem." When the Malach told Avraham Avinu on Tesfav Nisan outside his tent, "Lamoy Ashu Ve'Elecha, I'm going to come back to you next year." Sarat Loi Sirita Bakoisel. he made a scratch in the wall. Amar Lai, he told Avraham Avinu, when the ray of the sun hits this scratch that I just made on the wall, next year, Taylor. Sun is going to get burnt. So you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting for the sun to hit that scratch on the wall in Avraham Avinu's tent. It was in a museum in Eilon Mamre. As soon as the sun hit that spot on the wall, the Jews had went out of Mitzrayim. And as HaKadosh Baruch Hu had it so meduktik, so down to a science, that he took us out of Mitzrayim, not kehera fayin, in one blink of an eye late, he didn't wait. Because he had sworn to Avraham Avinu, and he kept his word down to the second. So now we understand, but what's the idea? So the third idea, if we think about it a little bit, is we know that Hashem did so many nisim for us. But okay, he did a lot of nisim. Hashem has an arsenal full of nisim. He just shakes them out of the sea. Whenever he wants, he makes an ace. Right? But the idea is that the ava that Hashem was displaying to us, that the care that Hashem was displaying for us, the importance that Hashem was showing us that we have, that I made a promise to Avraham Avinu 430 years ago, that they're going to get out on this day, and then 401 years ago, the Malach said, when the sun gets to this scratch, and that's why they got out, mamish at that second. So that is a big chizuk in terms of the level of the nes that Hashem did for us, that not only was it done in order to get us out, but Hashem made sure that the exact second of His word, he was Mekayim. And so too, as Hashem, very soon HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take us out from our galus at the exact second. I just want to end with one quick thought from Chassam Sefer. Based on this, I was clarifying, when the sun gets to the place on that line, is Avraham Avinu's wall still standing 400 years later? Or was it just that time of day? What's the nafka meaning? So Chassam Sefer has a very good thought. He says, we all know that Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem, I'm going to kill the Mitzrim b'achat tzais halayla. And of course, what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? K'achat tzais halayla, right? Be'erev, so Chazal say, I'm just cutting, and maybe Paro will get the cheshbon wrong, and then he'll say, oh, you see, my clock says it's 12:01, it must be that Hashem didn't do it exactly. So Moshe Rabbeinu left a little extra time, and either way, he says, K'achat tzais halayla. Chassam Sofer has a fascinating shot. He says, what did Rashi say? By Echalek Aleyem Laila, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the night from when? From Chatzais, 400 and something years ago, when Avraham Avinu was fighting against the long melts of the land, against Kedar La'omer and all his people. So he says, Chassam Sofer, the second half of the night was when the nate's supposed to happen. One second. But where did that nate happen? In Yisrael. Where is this nate happening? In Mitzrayim. So after 2-3 minutes off in terms of when Chatzais happens, and if it was left over from the Chatzais of Avraham Avinu, so Mamela, Moshe Avinu said, Ka Chatzais Alayla, because the Chatzais in Mitzrayim is a little different than the Chatzais in Eretz Yisrael.
And what did Hashem mean?
He said, Ba Chatzais.
What?
He meant Ba Chatzais from Avraham Avinu's Chatzais, that's by Yudhafim Adon, that's in Don Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, Moshe Avinu was worried that Paro won't have that. He didn't know Rashi, so that's why he said, that's the Ba
Chatzais.
Yeah. Fresh dessert in the back.
Two quick ideas. One is quick, one's not as quick, but both be fairly quick, hopefully. The first question I want us to address, I saw two interesting threads to it, is a question brought down by the four sons. Four sons we know, Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam, Echad Shem, the Yishol. I know I had when I was younger, I had the Youth Haggadah, the article Youth Haggadah. So each one had a very interesting picture, the Chacham had a picture, the Rasha had a picture. If you look at the list over here, they're not exactly properly balanced. For a Chacham, you should have maybe a Tipesh. For a Rashi, you should have a Tzaddik. The four sons are not really, it's hard to understand exactly what they're doing here. Again, a Tam is someone who we think is someone who does, you know, at the corner of the, it seems like in the Psukim, at least, in the, that we quote, the way that Balagada quotes it. Tom is someone who doesn't really, he doesn't really have much to ask. He's more of an innocent guy. He's not so well-read, maybe. He's more, though, than the one who's anti-literal. He's the one who doesn't know how to ask at all. He doesn't know even how to speak. He's really a mute in some ways. Apsachla, you have to even introduce for him. And you have the Chacham and the Rasha on the other extreme, not at all levels of intellect, but more different. You would think Rasha is a righteous level. Chacham, it could be a level of intellect. It's hard to understand exactly what these four have in common. I saw the Malbim brings down, he quotes that really these are all four different levels of intellect, or styles or approaches to intellect. And the Chacham and the Rasha are both equal in their amount that they know, but they're opposite in the approach they take to it. The Chacham, he looks at the matter, and he's able to be medayik something that's not there. He's able to see deeper and understand things that aren't even found directly in the text. The Rasha does the same thing. What the Chacham does is to find ways to support Kadosh Baruch Hu and to increase his avodas Hashem. And the Rasha does it to the opposite. He does it to challenge God and to show that there's really nothing to be so excited about. Those are two extreme levels of intellect. Both are IQ level on the same page as each other, the same plane. One of them is using his IQ to make the world a better place, and one is doing it for the opposite. Then you have the Tom is a level lower than that. He's not able to really, you know, see anything that's not so blatantly, you know, obvious. He can't really see. He's not able to decipher more than meets the eye. And the intellectual really can't even do that. He just sees it. And he doesn't even know how to respond even to things that are very basic and right in front of him. That's how the Malbim understands. They're all every single from the top, from the Chacham Rasha, in the intellectual, the Tom in the middle. It's all the levels, the amounts of intellect that a person could have, the IQ a person has, how he approaches Torah. Interesting shot, but I thought the shot that Vilna Gaon gives is a fascinating idea. I wanted to share maybe one or two minutes with you and explain to you how it works, and then go on to the next hour I wanted to share with you, which is a few questions, and give a mahalach to go through these three questions. Vilna Gaon points out, he says that really, you don't have one area like Malbim says of intellect, of IQ level. Instead, what you have is IQ level on one hand, and you have righteousness on the other hand. Problem is, if I had asked you what's the term for the most righteous person, you would tell me the righteous person is called a tzaddik. We don't have a tzaddik here. So he says, the truth is, you're right. The Chacham is not a tzaddik. He's a very bright person. He's one extreme. And the opposite extreme to the Chacham is the one who doesn't know how to speak at all. In Elishol, that's the opposite extreme. Those are our intellectual range from the people who are very bright and those who are not as bright. You have to speak to all of your children, both those who are Chacham and those who are in Elishol. The Rasha, though, is not based on his intellect, it's based on his behavior. He's not a nice guy. He's a Rasha. He's a wicked person. So what's his arch rival? It's not the tzaddik, he says it's the tam. We know, we call Yaakov an ish tam yoshev olim. Yaakov was an ish tam, who's a man of purity. He's someone who spent time in the tent of learning, the tent of Torah. And therefore, according to the Vilna Gaon, it's not the Chacham, Rasha, Tam, and Yerushalayim are all the same discussion. It's two separate discussions. You have the Chacham and Yerushalayim on one extreme, and then you have the Tam and the Rasha on the other extreme. And on that note, the difference between a Tam, let's say, and his typical Tzaddik, is that a Tam is someone who, even though he's very bright, even though he's very capable, he does not use his wisdom, he does not use his intellect at all to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He may understand every detail. He may be able to figure out. It doesn't matter if he understood it or if he didn't understand it. Tom is someone who is pure. You go with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you follow the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but Tzmimus means that you don't ask any questions at all. Whether you understand how it works, you don't understand how it works, you follow no matter what. You follow 100% each time. He brings down the Gemara. I saw quoted in the Haggadah, the Ayat of Levanon, the series of Lebanon. He quotes it's both an English and a Hebrew version of it. I forget the Pshat of who was quoted. Maybe it was Baron Cutler, possibly. I forget exactly, but I think maybe Baron Cutler. So he says, he tells a story in the Gemara of a town where the Rav said that in order to make the matzah, you should use our water. You should use our water to make your matzah. So the next day, people in the town all came over to the Rav's house with their barrels of water so they could fill up for the water of this Rav. They could fill up the water and bring back to their homes and make the matzah there. So the Rav sees everyone in his front door the next morning. He says, what are you coming to my house for? He said, you told us you're supposed to use your water. He said, I wasn't telling you to use my water. I was supposed to tell you to use water that it had to have a chance to sit overnight. It wasn't too warm. It wasn't too hot. If it was very hot, it might speed up, might hasten the process of making some chametz. And then when you try to make matzah, it would become chametz, really. So I wanted to make sure that you wouldn't use that. I didn't mean to use my own water. That's how the Gemara ends. The question is, why is the Gemara telling that, you know, you have this big place called Chel where people in the town were fools? So we try to make fun of this town of people that didn't understand that what he meant to say was that you should use water like my water, where I let it go overnight, where it wasn't so warm. So he explains that we're not making fun of them at all, we're actually praising them. That these people, even though they probably knew better, but they were mamash for it, they were at Tom. They followed, their Rav said, use my water, they want to use his water. They didn't want to say, oh, what he meant with his water was that a water that also had the chance to sit overnight and not be so warm. They didn't care about that at all. And each time is someone who doesn't care at all for the reasons behind it. He obviously likes to know the reasons, but whether he understands the reason, he doesn't understand the reason, it's not going to affect the Avodas Hashem ki hu zeh. And therefore, it's the most righteous person. It's the opposite of the Rasha. As a matter of fact, I think it's what really the Jewish people say when they said Nasa Vinishma was, I don't care the reason behind it. I'll be Nasa first and foremost. And when I finish being Naset, I like to know it, you know, as a thinking being, I like to understand what I'm doing, but it will not impact at all my Naset. That's what a real Tom is. And the Tom, that's the greatest righteous level we can have, is the opposite of Rush, who always wants to know, why would I do that? I don't get it, it doesn't mean anything to me at all. So the opposite of that, and this is what the Gemara is saying, I think the Gemara is saying, is that the levels of righteous we have is the Tom versus Russia. That's one extreme. And then the other ones we have, the other area we're addressing is the levels of wisdom, which is the Chacham and the Eilishim. I want to just ask three quick questions, in which I'm trying to have one mahalak that's going to answer all three of them. One of them is my own idea, the other two not. And I'll share with you which. I don't remember who said what. First question that bothered me for many, many years. It's not in the Haggadah per se, but it's something that we know based on our teachings since we were much younger. And that is, why do we eat matzah on the way out of Mitzrayim? Why do we have matzah? It says, when we actually were slaves, it's the lechem oni, it's the food that the oni would eat. But we also know that we ate matzah on the way out of Mitzrayim. Why do we eat matzah on the way out of Mitzrayim? What's the reason why?
Didn't have to rise.
Why not?
Because we were in a rush to leave.
We were in a rush to leave. What was the rush? Why couldn't we make a matzah for it?
Mitzrayim were chasing us
out. Okay, so they were chasing us out. First, they were very happy for us to leave. I mean, we could have walked out if we wanted to. They didn't have to. We could have said, we'll take our time, thank you very much. I'm baking something right now in the oven. I want a nice gooey cookie. We had the upper hand. We didn't have to follow their lead. But we know they were on the last level of Tumah. Number 49th level, so we know there's only 50 levels altogether. And if you hit the 50th level, it's a point of no return. You're never going to get out of Mitzrayim 50th level. Now, Mistamo, when did they hit number 49? When did they hit the level of Tumah? Mistamo, when did they hit it? Probably when did they hit it? Just now. Right? Otherwise, they should be worried about the 50th level at any point in time. They should be rushing out whatever they hit 49th level of Tumah. But suddenly, they must have just hit 49th level of Tumah. Just now, they hit number 49. Remember Tesh Ari Tumah, just now. So I don't get it. On one hand, I imagine, if it was me, if I was... trying to map out levels of Tumah, I would imagine we were on level number, let's say, 41 before the first Makkah of Dam. Also, going to come to Dam, what would you expect to happen right now? 40th level. We should be getting better, right? Up meaning less Tumah. Now we're at the 40 level. Tzvardeya, 39. Kinim, 38, etc., etc. Somehow our machine broke. Our Tumah Tower machine, they gave us a faulty one. We have a Makkah, and we get more Tumah. And then a Makkah, and catch this, more Tumah. And so we end up seeing Makkah's Bechoros, and at this point in time, we are as Tumah as can be. Would you not expect at this point in time for us to be pulling ourselves out of the Tumah, the filth of the Mitzrayim? We're being distancing ourselves from that which is going on around us, and yet the opposite was happening. It was a reverse Tumah machine. We're in the wrong, if someone set the order wrong, just take it back to the radio shack and fix it and properly wire it. What's going on over here? Question number one. Question number two. I saw an interesting question brought down in the Sefer Rapinkus. He mentioned, we say, Afilu kulan chachamim, kulan nivonim, kulan yodim is a Torah. Even so, it's a mitzvah, alin l'safar is Yisrael. And if the kol marv l'safar, it's harez l'mashuach. So he asked, why? You know, if I know every year, let's say you knew Baal Peh. You knew Baal Peh with every possible shot you could get, in Pesachim, in Arab Pesachim. You're at every Shai, every Brisker Rub, you're at every Siach Grid. You do every single thing. Why is there a Taka? Why is there a Mitzvah? So say it again every year. I already know it. Am I increasing my knowledge? Am I getting anything more out of it than I knew yesterday? If I know something about Baal Peh, I know every nook and cranny of that piece, of that shot. Is there a Mila for me telling it over to you again? So that's I ask question number two. And the final question which I'll ask, and I'll answer all three questions in a different order than I asked them, try to have a mahalak over here, is regarding Dayenu. We say in the piece Dayenu, I'm just trying to find the right lashon.
says.
You look around and say, "Yam, how do you split for us a sea?" But you didn't let us pass in it through dry land. Da'inu would have been enough for us. Meaning, it would have been enough if you split the sea and didn't let us pass through it in the dry land. So, there's two options what this means over here. Either it means, had you split the sea and then we never walked through it, that would be da'inu. It's hard to imagine that's the case. It's difficult to understand. That had you split the sea and we didn't go through it at all, da'inu. That would have been enough for us to praise you. Why? How am I praising that the Midrashim also had to see split for them? It split, and they didn't walk through it. They ended up drowning in it. Was that Dayinu for them? It's not, but not. It's probably not Dayinu. So what's Dayinu? The Dayinu is, this again I saw this in the Haggadah of the Arz Levanon, he brings down, the Dayinu is that had you not let us walk in it and it was not much dry land, it would have been mud. He could have given us that we walked through the sea, and as the sea would split, you'd imagine the bottom of the sea floor should have been somewhat muddy. If anyone's ever gotten to the ocean before and you walk in the sea, it's not marble. When the sea was split in the summer, it would still not be marble, it would be muddy. So had you let us walk through the sea, and it wasn't dry land, it would have been muddy, and we got our clothes dirty, Dayinu. I mentioned a lot of things over here at Dayinu. We mentioned a lot of things that are very, very big miracles. But this seems like a little bit of a petty one. Had you let us walk through the sea, and our clothes didn't get even dirty, that'd been enough. Why am I recognizing the great miracle that we had of our clothes, of the cuffs of our pants, didn't get some mud on them? Our shoes, our sandals, didn't have to be clean after I walked. That requires mentioning. Had you not done that, that would still be dayinu. I mean, that's such a special thing that we had also, that our clothes remained clean and our pants, our cuffs didn't get dirty. That's worthy of mentioning in dayinu. It's a little difficult and hard to understand. So I want to share with you, hopefully again, the three questions we asked. Number one question was, why the Tumah going in the wrong order? Number two is, if I know so much, is it in fact a requirement that I should have to actually tell the story over again? Why? And number three is, why am I mentioning, why does the Haggadah, the Baal Haggadah, go through Dayinu of mentioning that it was enough? You know, again, had I not given the Shabbos, I understand what's great about Shabbos and Naman, etc. But that I wouldn't walk through dryness, it'd be muddy versus dry, is that such a big deal? So I'll answer one by one. First of all, I'll start with the question of the Kulan Chachamim. I think perhaps my favorite word in Haggadah, and this one again, I started in Rav Pinkus. I'll give you just a mushroom. He says, why do I read Sefer Shirim every single year if I know already? Why is it mitzvah taka to go over every year and tell you again the same story? He says, imagine you and I, we all spent our year this year, some of us are in the second year, and some of you will be third year next year maybe, I've heard rumors of that. We've spent learning yeshiva, trying to amass knowledge and close to God. We have friends of ours we all know who took different routes with their year. Some people have been yeshiva for the year but didn't take it seriously. Some people didn't go to yeshiva at all. And they were in college. One of your friends was in college, take this example. And in college, you took a class in origami. Which, by the way, you know, it's folding of papers and making cool designs out of them. Which I learned you had to do. I was pretty impressed to see someone do origami. So you walk into your friend after Pesach vacation, you walk in, and you share with him a Devar Torah and Haggadah, and he shares with you an origami he learned how to do when he was in college. And he folds for you the coolest origami, a six-winged airplane. That, catch this, when you pull the bottom part of where the wheel is, all the wings pop up and down. Fantastic. What an origami. You walk home, you're walking outside, you're calling your friend on the phone, like, you would never believe what Beryl learned in college. He makes this origami, six-winged airplane, you pull the bottom, the feet flap something down. It's amazing. Now, as you're talking to your friend on the phone, a little mosquito flies by. You're like, ah, mosquito, damn. And an ant in the floor, a whole bunch of ants, you're like, ah, I hate ants. You're kicking the ants, and you're admiring this origami you heard about. Her biggest ask, I understand. This origami is pretty cool. It happens to be cool. It is pretty cool. But as you're walking by this lifeless, you're describing this lifeless piece of paper that a guy folded in neat ways and pulled and the flaps would go up and down, and you're walking by a six-legged ant that has a little brain and a little heart, and it walks around and it functions like a living organism. And when you see it, you're like, ugh, ant, someone catch an ant, throw it out of the house. How come you're more impressed by the origami than by the ant? Or a mosquito, or a bee? We see if you run the other direction. Why, okay, I don't want to get stung, obviously. But why am I so enthralled by that little origami and not by a little insect? So the Shah Rav Pinkus brings down to the people of Shah. He says, the first time you ever saw an ant was you probably 2 years old, 2 years old. The first time you ever recognized seeing an ant, I remember, was 2 years old. And you look at the ant, you're like, what, ants. And you open up the little file in your brain, and your mom was like, that's an ant. And they said, can you say ant? And ant. Oh, he said ant. Everyone cheers for the little 2 year old kid and said ant. And that point in time, you have now in your brain a little file opened up, it says ant on it. And whenever you see an ant from now on, you open up your 2 year old file of your brain, it's when you're 2 year old, and you have now remembering what your ant, what the feeling was like when you saw the first ant. And then the mosquito, it's anything with a bug. Anything you see for the first time, you put an impression in your brain, that is what you always remember this thing being. And sure enough, when you go and see origami for the first time, because you never saw it until you were 18, 19, 20 years old, you're impressed because now you're a thinking being. And when you see the ant or the fly outside, you're not impressed because you're a 2 year old back and being your 2 year old self again. Says Rapinkus, you may know the Medrash already. You probably heard this thing told over 10 times. But now you're different than you were last year. How could you not be? You've been studying Eretz Yisrael for the year. Or you've had life experience that should have certainly changed you at some point in time. Maybe you had a kid. Or you had Nebuch, you had the opposite. You had bad experiences you've gone through in your life. You should be a different person than the last time you saw this thing. So even if you're a Chacham, you're a Navon, you know this shot already. But you never heard it the way you are today. He tells you, don't open up a file in your brain from when you were a 5-year-old and you first heard this. Or when you first asked Manishana, you remember you were 6 years old, you could first read, you learned the song when you were in kindergarten. Don't rely on your 6-year-old memory for you to recall things and tell over the Seder. It's the opposite. It's a mitzvah for you to review every single year the same way you progress. If I would learn for the first time, if I would learn an ant, and I would go into biology class and dissect it, I'd be much more impressed by what I see now than what I saw back then. It's a mitzvah for us to try every year to learn and relearn and renew these things every single year. That's our pinks of shots. Why, even if you know already, it's a mitzvah to tell it over anyways again. With that in mind, I want to answer the first question I asked, which is, why are we going backwards in Tumah? I think it's a very good question. The question I saw first is written up in a few places before it was down, but I saw first in the Rebbe Kiva test. But the answer he gives is different than I'm going to give you. In the same called Living Inspired, he gave a shot, but I'll give you something different than my own idea. And that is, that how do you define what's Tumah, what's Tara? So, you guys don't be brick in Derech Hashem, Tumah, Tara, it's defined in connection to Hashem. As much as you connect to Hashem, that's, as you see Hashem, that's Tara, and distance from Hashem, that's called being Tumah. Imagine you're in Mitzrayim, and the first Makkah of Dantuza, you're probably very impressed by that. And imagine that you follow every Makkah, would be a month later, would be another Makkah. You wake up every month waiting to see what's the next thing Kadosh Baruch Hu do for you. What's the next trick he's going to pull? What's the next Makkah, the next way he's going to smite the Egyptians, my taskmaster? What's he going to do next? And the last one they did wasn't sufficient anymore. You want to see even a greater one. One second. Who will get up in the morning? Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? Yeah, but come on, I want to see really, what's the next thing God's going to do today to show his greatness in the world? But you know, you can see, who let you see this morning? Come on, that's nothing. What's the next fantastic? So as you go through the Makkahs, what are you waiting for? To one up the last one that God did. And then what we do is we lose complete sight of the fact that everything else that we see in our lives that are routine, that are normal for us, that I can walk, that I can speak, that I can hear, that I can see, that I can breathe. Every last one of those things is a gift from Kadosh Baruch Hu. And if you're waiting to find the next way Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to come and show you his greatness, then you're getting more Tumah and more Tumah every single day. You may believe in God more than you did beforehand, but you don't see his hand in the most basic things. And therefore, as we watch Dam, to Tzvardeya, to Kedem, to Arov, etc., we were going backwards. Because we were always waiting for God to one-up himself what he did last month to us. And we lost sight of the fact that we can walk, we can run around, we can play, we can laugh, we can cry. All those things, we forgot that God also is responsible for those things. And we spend so much of our lives focusing on these tremendously large things and waiting, when will God show himself to me? And you forgot he just did when you woke up in the morning to Modan Fanecha, that Hashem showed himself to you, that you're back again today. And with that in mind, I'll end off to answer our last question that we asked, which is, who cares that it was B'charava? God's going to see for us. That's pretty serious. Do I need to mention that we walked out and it was like a marble floor, it was like a dry land? Who cares? So the answer is, that's exactly the point of Rav is showing you, is that those smaller things are the things that you should not be taking for granted. Because that small thing is the kiss from Hashem to say, I happen to feel very special about you. If I just wanted to save you from a time I could have saved you and split the sea, and you'd walk through and be disgusting and muddy and, yeah. But I happen to love you. Because I love you, I don't want your pants to get dirty. I don't want you to have to go to a shoe cleaner afterwards and someone have to shine your shoes. I don't want that to happen. Because I care about the small details. I don't want you to have frustrations like that. And therefore, Hashem said, we say in Adayinu, that's one thing that you say to the life because you care about us as a nation in general. But it's much more than that. You care about each individual that Chazomi should be bothered and annoyed. And you made it a charaba. It's a kiss to show how much you love them. And that kiss is unique. In that kiss, we want to make sure we remember every single time Dafka on Pesach. And it's the kiss we didn't learn when we were in Mitzrayim itself. Because when we should have been noticing all the fine details Hashem does for us on a regular basis, we didn't see that happening. And therefore, we had to go out of Mitzrayim so quickly because we missed the point and we were so... We didn't reach the sweetness of all the things that he was doing on a daily basis. And as we read through Dayenu this year, and we discuss this question of why we're going back in Tumah, I ask you to tell your family, ask your family this question, see what they say, what their ideas are. It's a fascinating question. You don't like my answer, but this question is really a great question. Which we zocha to always see in front of us, Kadosh Baruch Hu's sweetness. Not only waiting for him to perform miracles that break laws of nature, but even to see in Kadosh Baruch Hu the charava that we walk on dry land, that we're able to spend time and do the most basic things in life, and to see that even a fly is much more impressive than the lower God, because the tremendous gifts Kadosh Baruch Hu gives in the world, we saw Bezocha to see them in their great glory. Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah.
Just a very, very short word. We know the very, very famous question that most people ask at the beginning of the Seder. It's probably the most popular question outside of the Mishnah Tana. Is in the Halakha Ma'anya we say, Kol Dichlin Yesev Yechal, Kol Ditzruk Yesev Yechal. Anybody who's hungry, come eat. Anybody who needs to, please come join our Kor Pesach. So everybody asks, you're sitting down to the Seder, you have whoever you have at the Seder table right now. What are you doing inviting people now? It makes no sense. One of the very popular answers is, it's an expression of cheres, that a person who's free is able to invite other guests. But I saw a very, very beautiful shot based on the Maharal. The Maharal asks a question that we should ask ourselves twice, maybe three times a day. When we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, we are accepting upon ourselves Kabbalah Olamach L'Shemayim. We're accepting upon ourselves the yoke of heaven. Now, if you would want to pick the two most significant words that express Kabbalah Olamach L'Shemayim, or even the four most significant words, you'd say Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem is my God, Hashem is one. The two, obviously, the primary words of Kabbalah Olamach L'Shemayim are Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is my God. What's the pshat? Why do you start? And not only is that in the middle of the phrase, in the middle of the pasuk, but it doesn't even kick off the pasuk. Hashem Elokeinu should start the pasuk. Yet what starts the pasuk? Shema Yisrael, Hear, O Israel. What does that to do with Kabbalah Shema Yisrael? So Maharal explains the concept of Ein Melech Lo Am. There's no such thing as a king without a nation. You can have a king, but if a king has only one servant and one person following him, that's not called a kingdom. That's called nothing. It's nothing. So the point is that the person who wants to accept upon himself Kabbalah Shema Yisrael on a personal level, he has to say Shema Yisrael. He has to unite to some sort of nation, to a group of people, in order to accept upon himself HaKadosh Baruch Hu, accept upon himself the Melech in a proper fashion. And I heard the most unbelievable diyuk once. I heard this from this Rosh Shiva. His name is Rav Meir Stern, Rosh Shiva Psek. And it's something that we could have thought about a few hours ago in davening, and it's something we should think about. Although somebody reminded me in shul today that today's the last day. You know, for the next month we're going to have to say this, say davening. And my son as well. 2 days ago, just saying, "Oh, I'm so excited!" You know, this time tomorrow afternoon, that's it. Tomorrow afternoon by mincha. He was talking to me yesterday. He said Monday afternoon, no more davening. But listen, so mitzvah Hashem, next month, beginning of the year. Bay's ear, I guess. You'll try to remember this word. It's unbelievable. We say in the Tachman, Shomer Yisrael, Shomer Sheish Yisrael, Guard of Israel, guard us. Bisklis what? Ha'omrim Shema Yisrael. To those that say Shema Yisrael. The next paragraph says, Shema Gura Echad, please watch over this one nation. Why? Hameachim Shimcha, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That designate your name as Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And then Shema Gura Kodosh, the one that says over the three Kedushas. So what do you see? That Shema Yisrael in and of itself has a power. Right? You ask, B'schus, the fact that you say Shema Yisrael, please save us. B'schus, the fact that you say Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, please save us. B'schus, the fact that we say the Shalosh Kedushas, please save us. What's unique? What's special about the Shema Yisrael? But this is exactly the idea, that the Shema Yisrael is a symbol of unity. A symbol of unity that you're connecting to the rest of the nation. Because as we said before, Ein Melech Ba'olam, the idea of the Pesach Seder is this element of Kabbalah Samach L'Shemayim. We took away the Shibud of Mitzrayim. We're supposed to accept upon ourselves the Shibud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you cannot do that until you unite with everybody else. So you see very clearly that the Shema Yisrael, Hero Israel, you're calling out to your friends. You're calling out to your compatriots as a battle cry to join together in Achdus. And I think it's beautiful that this is how the Seder essentially starts. This is how Magid starts. The element that you cannot be alone. You cannot, and we know, of course, through the ages, people have Pesach Seder, generally speaking. Pesach Seder is a time where families unite, friends unite, everybody comes together to Karan and Kodesh Baruch Hu. But I think even before those words of Kol Dichlin Yesed Yechol, there's an allusion to Achdus even prior to that. We know that the night of the Pesach Seder is exactly the same night as Tisha B'Av. Same night as the week falls out, right? This year, Pesach Seder is Monday night. Tisha B'Av is also going to be Monday night. I once heard this voice from the neighbor of Yitzhak Bernstein from London. He says the following thing. Karpas. Where do you see the word Karpas used in history? So if you look at Rashi, when Rashi writes by Torah's Pasim, so Rashi describes Torah's Pasim as Karpas. And what does karpas and the Torah's Pasim have to do with karpas? What do? You dip the karpas in the soul water. What's the dipping of the soul water supposed to remind us? It's supposed to remind us of the fact that the brothers took the Torah's Pasim, the karpas of Yosef HaTzadik, and dipped into the blood in order to show the father that he was killed. Now, what's the connection between karpas, dipping the Torah's Pasim into the blood? What's the message? To remind us, hold on a second. We're about to embark upon Magid. We're about to start the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But let's discuss how it all started. How did it all start? It all started with Mechiras Yosef, essentially, right? Because Yosef was sent out to Mitzrayim. He sold and went out to Mitzrayim. He obviously, he was the one who collected all the food in Mitzrayim. He called everybody down from around, within Mitzrayim and the surrounding areas. That's how the Jews ended up in Mitzrayim. That's how the whole Shibud started. So let's not forget, before we even start the Magid, let's not forget how it all started. It started with the lack of Achdus. It started with sinah between brothers. However you want to describe the relationship that Yosef had with his brothers. Let's not forget that element. So you see, it's a beautiful, and that's the way that we start the Seder. You start with the karpas, with the dipping of the karpas into the soul water, which is reminiscent of the brothers dipping the Torah's Pasim into the blood. And you also start with this idea of Kol Dichlin Yesed Yechol. Why are you inviting everybody else to join you? You're inviting everybody else to join you because you cannot, in Mekayim, in Mitzvah Salayla, you cannot become Ol Malchus Shemayim properly without uniting with your friends and your neighbors. Shol B'Zilchot have tremendous Achdus in your lives, only Ahavas Chinam between you and your entire families and all of Klal Yisrael.
Okay. Okay. I want to just actually share one idea, which I hope Bez Hashem will not be too lengthy. I know that 3 hours late. We're 15 minutes behind schedule already. I haven't even started, so I'll try to be brief, Bez Hashem. I heard a beautiful part yesterday from a fellow that, something I said? A fellow that you guys may recognize, he comes almost every day to Daven Mincha in Yeshiva. He's a British fellow, sits in the back, right next to me. With a mustache. He's a retired math teacher from London.
Jack Ortman.
Good. So he likes to tell the parts. Whenever he sees me, which is not every day, because I usually dive downstairs, but he likes to tell me words. He told me this very nice part yesterday. I like to just embellish upon it a little bit. We say in the Haggadah, smack in the middle, right before the crux of the Haggadah, we say, "V'hi she'amna la'avosein v'lanim." And this is what stood up for our forefathers and us. And we say, "Shalom achad levad amad alinu l'chaloseinu," but not one person by himself, or one people by themselves, came upon us to destroy us. But every generation they're coming to kill us, destroy us. And immediately after that we say, Tsei Ulmad, go out and see my Bikesh Lavan Harami. Go look and see what Lavan wanted to do to Yaakov Avinu. So he asked a simple question. I'm not a historian. I never studied history. Maybe there are bigger historians in the room than I. But there definitely were times in the history of Klal Yisrael that the Jews were not oppressed. There certainly were ages and places in the world where Bnei Yisrael lived freely, pretty, without oppression, without difficulty. We and Hara, most of us in our lives, have lived in countries and in neighborhoods where there was no problems, no challenges, no threats to our lives, no neighbors that try to chas v'shalom do terrible things to us. So how can the Baal Gadol say, "Shebechol dor v'dor on dilei l'chol sin"? Every generation they want to kill us. What do you mean? My next door neighbor Bob, he's a good guy. I'm like, he doesn't bother me. We're boys, we chill. That's question one. Question two is, what's the connection of the next part of Agada? Tzei Ulmad, I'm going to prove this to you. Go see Ma Bikesh Lavan Harami La'asos Le'Yaakov Avinu. Ma Kesher, like the children say in this country. Ma Kesh. Ma Kesher, what's the connection between Shebechol Dov Adol and Olin Chalasein? And Tzei Ulmad, I'm going to prove this to you. Go look at what Lavan Harami wanted to do to Yaakov Avinu. What do you want from Lavan? So he suggested a very nice shot. I think you're saying it, Bashem the Gra. I looked in the Gra, and I saw part of this in the Gra. Maybe he has a more elaborate version of the Gra. In London, they have a bigger, longer parish like Gra. But whatever it is, this is the part that he said. It's a very, very beautiful part. You look at Parish Vayetze, the story of Lavan. So you find a very, very beautiful phenomenon over there. So you find the following. Lavan, and Yaakov was working by Lavan for many years, 20 plus years. There, he's tricked hundreds of times by Achlevis Maskotia Aseres Monim. He finally comes to his wives, Rachel and Leah, and says, "Okay, guys, let's go. Time to go." And they sneak out. They run out in the middle of the night. And Lavan wakes up in the morning, and oh my goodness, where is my son-in-law? And where are my daughters? And where are my grandchildren? What's going on over here? This is terrible. So he proceeds to go ahead and run after Yaakov. And he runs after Yaakov with the intention, clearly, to give it to Yaakov, to give it to him shtark. He wants to give them that way. Chutzpah b'dayla. Catches up with Yaakov, and before he meets up with Yaakov finally, the night before, so the pasuk describes that a malach comes to Lavan. He says, "Lavan, watch out. Yishama lecha. Don't say a word to Yaakov. Midaber Yaakov mitoa. Don't say a word to Yaakov. Don't touch him. Don't say a bad. Don't knock dormant. You stay away from my Yaakov," says the malach to Lavan. Lavan's a little bit scared because a malach came to him and said, "Stay away from Yaakov." So the next morning he comes to Yaakov and meets up with him finally and says, "Yankele, Shalom Aleichem, a simple question I have for you. Why'd you leave and sneak out on me? If you would have told me you were leaving, I would have made you a party. Vash Aleichacha, B'simcha, B'tof, V'china, I would have sent you out with a party with instruments. I would have made a parade to take you out. Why'd you think I would just sneak out like that for Yaakov?" Yaakov may have thought to himself, possibly we could conjure up. Yaakov thought to himself, "Hey, you know what? Maybe he has changed his mind. You know, maybe he has a change of heart. Look, my father-in-law that tricked me all these years, maybe he had chalotza. Maybe he feels bad a little bit. Maybe he really likes me now. Maybe he wants to go ahead and just, you know, give me a kiss after all these years that I worked so hard for him." But we know the story. What really happened? He really wanted to punch him in the face. He was running after him to beat him up. But the malach said, "Stop." Says the Gra, allegedly, I didn't see this Gra inside, that's the shot over here. "Say Ulamad, how do you know that in every generation they're coming to kill us? Sometimes it looks like it's great. Like they're our best friends, they hug us, they give us Hanukkah presents, and they'll give us Passover gifts, and they're our buddies, and they're our pals." No. "Say Ulamad, go out and learn my Bikesh Lavan Harami, what he wanted to do to Yaakov Avinu. Not what he did to Yaakov Avinu. He came to Yaakov Avinu and he gave him a kush on the cheek. Why? Well, he was forced, his hands were tied. But in reality, what did he want to do? He wanted to go ahead and destroy Yaakov and he wanted to hurt us. Say Ulamad, Shebechol Dor V'Dor Odin L'Chol HaSin." Even when times when our next door neighbor Bob or Jim or Shaniqua or whatever our next door neighbors are, they seem like they're our best friends and pals and they're so nice to us and cuddly to us and warm to us. In reality, that's just not really the case. This is a shout out for Gilad Zeref, for Dougie. I'm closing. I have a point. And the part I go to later, it says, Vayareyu osana mitzvah vayanunu. What's Vayareyu mean? A lot of different shatim. Vayareyu. So one shot in Vayareyu is that they befriended us. Vayareyu osana mitzvah. They, like, Moshe v'ahavta l'reyacha kamocha. We're your friends, we're pals. Come on, make some straw for us, and I'll invite you over for some coffee. We'll have a nice party together. And that, I've always said, is the worst. That's the worst ra. Vayareyu, as a friend, when the non-Jews befriend us and want to take us in and say, we love you, we're your best friends, that's the ultimate vayareyu, that's the ultimate ra. That's the ultimate challenge that Klal Yisrael faces when it looks like it's so nice on the outside. We love you so much. You love us. Yeah. Like we discussed many times over the course of the year. Yeah, like a famous part, Rabbi Lapian, I love fish. You love fish. You love your stomach. And you love how your stomach feels when you have fish. You hate the fish. You want to kill the fish and eat the fish and chop the fish into little smithereens. You don't love the fish. By Yareyu Osanu, they befriended us. And when they befriend us, that's the ultimate ra that could befall Klal Yisrael. And I'm just going to close the following idea. A lot has been said, beautiful Devei Torah. I even wrote a lot of them down there. I enjoyed them very much. One last part that I think maybe just brings this idea home. Because what does this mean to us? Besides, maybe we shouldn't get too close with our next door neighbor, Bob, Jim, or Shaniqua that we may go see soon. Apart from that, there's a very, I think, very nice message. And that is the following. I think this is the Pisker of the Rabbein that know more of which Torah goes to which person will tell me if it's Pisker. I think it's Pisker of or based on Lady. I'm not sure which one. I think it's related to one of the Bisker redness. Not redness, but Rabbein. Gross. Anyway, it says in the Hallel, we say, Halluah Hashem Kol Goyim. Praise Hashem, all the nations. Shabuchu Kol Umim. All the people, all the nations of the world should praise Hashem. Why? Ki Gavar Aleinu Chasdo. Because His chesed has been great upon us. And they asked the obvious question. Praise Hashem the nations. Ki Gavar Aleinu Chasdo. Because God was good to us. That's the reason why they should praise Hashem. You nations praise God because God was good to us. It doesn't make any sense. The pshat. We said it so many times in our lives, we almost like just lost the sensitivity. Why should they praise Hashem? Because God showed His greatness to us. And the pshat, they suggest the following pshat. And this is the pshat which you can really feel in this country. In Eretz Yisrael, Yishalayim, you can feel this pshat. Everywhere in this country. There are many times in Bosai, they explain that the non-Jews look like they're our friends. And we experience difficulty and we say, this is so difficult. And we don't realize that there were, for every challenge that we faced, there were multiple other challenges that were planned and were thwarted off. That were planned and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu totally destroyed and made not able to come to fruition before they ever happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cut them off. They're en route. They planned Chas V'Shalom Achmon Atzlan X, Y, or Z, this type of thread of Rahman al-Islam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped it and didn't let it go and said, no, that's not happening. Who knows about what they planned and what didn't take place? Who knows? Only two groups of people, or two beings. They know themselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. We don't know about it. We don't know that they wanted to plan this bomb, this Chas V'Shalom, this threat. Therefore we say, Haluas Hashem kol goyim, Shabchu kol umim. You praise Hashem, why? Because you know, Ki gavar aleinu chasdo. You know that Hashem's greatness was upon us. You know that when we didn't even see a tsar coming our way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped it. So you should praise Hashem for all of that, that we saw and that we didn't see. And that's, I think, the message over here. Tzei ulmad. Go ahead and see. This is the night of Hodah. Thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And of course, there's a lot to thank Hashem for as a people, as Klal Yisrael, as individuals. But we have to thank Hashem for what we know about, and also about Nisecha Shebechol Mimanu, for the miracles that happened to us that we don't even realize happened to us. We came to an intersection a minute after Rachman al-Tan, after an accident. And it could have been us, or El Malay Shlita. 2 weeks ago. Less than 2 weeks ago. 12 days ago. when the bomb happened in Bnei Omar, Adam Alei, the dean of students of Shira Torah Shraga, was a block away, 200 feet, 300 feet away from the bomb. Whoa. He was this close. He was going. I first thing I heard about it, I called him up because I did the math. He left the yeshiva 2:45. He was going to take a bus. I didn't know I'm about to take another bus back to my Beit Shemesh. I figured to myself, the math is right. The bus came on time. He should be in that neighborhood. The bus, the bomb took place literally right in front of where the bus where he would have been standing once. Whoa. Shrek. But, and we should never know from those kind of experiences. But the miracles of Pesach remind us about this. Tzeil Mar. There's so much to learn up. Aluasim Kogoyim, there's nisim that happen to us all the time that we don't necessarily see, even know about. And all those miracles also we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. We should be zocheh to come to the ultimate halal and hoda. Rabban said in the parashas Bo that the whole purpose of a person's creation is to come and praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu who created them. The night to do that is Pesach night. Let's be zocheh to use the night as an opportunity to express our halal and hoda HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that which we saw and we experienced and also that which we didn't experience. Let's be zocheh, Bez Hashem, to 2 kilometers away to eat Minazvachim and Apsachim. Shkoyach, have a wonderful day, a wonderful Yom Tov.
Shkoyach.